That's the school bell. That's the school bell for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And so you're welcome to get your seat and come into class and bring your Bible with you. And then be turning in your Bible to Ezra chapter 3. And we're going to see what the Bible says in Ezra chapter 3 about the rebuilding of the temple that the children of Israel did when they returned from the Babylonian captivity. We've had several lessons on this so far, and we'll continue with that in this class. And in this particular lesson, we're going to talk about how that when the foundation of that temple was laid, there were some old men there. And those old men had remembered the Temple of Solomon in all its glory that Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed. And the emotions overcame them when they saw the joy of the people rejoicing at the new temple, when they remembered the old temple and realized what they had lost for so many years. It's a very beautiful story. And so turn to Ezra 3. We'll read verses 12 through 13 and study Elam's notes on that. And then we'll continue on with this lesson about how that old temple was restored, making note that the way you restore anything of God is by going back and doing things as God had written. So it is written is a very important point in all of these lessons. While you're turning to Ezra chapter 3, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. As you hear the Bible discussed at the Warren County Radio Bible School and see the importance we put on Bible study and understanding what is written in this Bible school, well, you'll be able to appreciate then how we also do this when we gather together for Bible study at our meeting house at Rock Cliff, and how we do this in the preaching when the time for services, time of our services, when we preach from the Word of God, and that honor and respect we show toward God by the honor and respect we show toward His Word. I am Bill Boyd. I'm the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, if you have your Bible ready, turn to Ezra chapter 3. And I'll read the passage we read at the close of our last class. So we'll begin taking up from there in the next class. And it's a very beautiful passage. It talks about when the foundation of the temple was relaid after the children of Israel came back from Babylonian captivity. And in Ezra 3 and verse 12, we read from the American Standard Version, "But many of the priests and of the Levites, the heads of the fathers' houses, the old men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. And many of the people shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise from the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off." It must have been a touching scene to see all those young people, all their rejoicing over the laying of that foundation, contrasted to the old men whose memories carried them back when they were young and had seen the glory of old Solomon's temple and realized that it had been gone for all these many years. And the old men wept and the young men rejoiced. Here's Elam's notes on those verses. But contrast what the old men did with the joy of the preceding verse. Many of the priests and Levites and heads of the fathers' houses, the old men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. Their grief was very great. Why did they weep? not because this house was smaller than the one that had been destroyed, for it was larger. This house was 60 cubits high and 60 cubits broad, and the first one was only 20 cubits broad and 30 cubits high. You can see that in 1 Kings 6, chapter 2, and 2 Chronicles 3, verses 3 and 4, and Ezra chapter 6 and verse 3. The contrast between the plainness and poverty of this one and the richness and beauty and magnificence of the first one, the absence of the Ark of the Covenant and its context, the contents, the mercy seat, and the fire from heaven, in the old associations, it made them weep. They felt that the glory of Israel had departed. To them, the glory of this building, compared to the glory of the former one, was as nothing. It says in the book of Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 3, commenting on that, "Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing?" Some of these men must have been old indeed. In this way, God was leading his people away from material splendor and glory to the greatness and glory of his spiritual kingdom. 15 years after this, Haggai encouraged the people to proceed with this building, making the following promise: "The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, saith Jehovah of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, said Jehovah of hosts." It was not greater than the former because it had greater materials or greater earthly splendor. The temple that God would eventually build was his church, and it was greater than the former because Jesus Christ would come to it and fill it with his glory. While these old men wept with a loud voice, others shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish between the shouts of joy and the cries of sorrow. This was doubtless a most affecting scene. I want to read to you from the prophet Haggai, and I want to read chapters 2, verses 1 through 9, where the prophet Haggai speaks of these things. And so, the book of Haggai, chapter 2, and verse 1 says, "In the 7th month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of Jehovah by Haggai the prophet, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith Jehovah, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith Jehovah, and work. For I am with you, saith Jehovah of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, and my spirit abode among you. Fear ye not, for thus saith Jehovah of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and the precious things of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith Jehovah of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith Jehovah of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, saith Jehovah of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith Jehovah of hosts." You know that old temple that they built when they came back out of Babylon was rebuilt piece by piece to an even greater temple in the days of Herod. But the glory of God was not in that temple until Jesus Christ himself showed up. And he walked into that temple upon those temple grounds. And Jesus is the glory of that temple. And Jesus is the glory of his temple, the church. And so Jesus is the reason that the glory of Christ Church, His spiritual temple, exceeds in glory of every material thing that could have been built. Now going back to Elam's notes, this third section of this Sunday school lesson talks about how the good work was hindered. Ezra chapter 4 shows how the Jews' adversaries tried to hinder the work of the building of this temple. These adversaries were a people the king of Assyria had transported from other countries into Samaria after the captivity of the 10 tribes. We read about that in 2 Kings 17, 24 through 26. It says, from these people sprang the Samaritans. When these adversaries heard that the children of the captivity were building a temple unto Jehovah, the God of Israel, they drew near to Zerubbabel and to the heads of the fathers' houses and said to them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us up thither. Esarhaddon was the son of Sennacherib, 2 Kings 19:37. But these Samaritans did not worship God. They were idolaters. An account of their worship is given in 2 Kings 17:24 through 41. And Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the high priest, and the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses, that's the wise men and the leaders, said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us in building a house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto Jehovah the God of Israel, as the king of Cyrus and the king of Persia had commanded us. The Jews would receive no assistance from such a source as the idolaters, and dismissed these adversaries in their summary manner. The Jews could not acknowledge these idolatrous people as true worshipers of God, and could not join them in nothing which pertained to the worship of God. They declined to place themselves under any obligation whatsoever to the enemies of the true worship of God. Neither would they make any compromise which would adulterate this worship by a mixture of the worship of Jehovah with heathenism. There was a way in which these adversaries could have joined the Jews in this work, and that was by renouncing their idolatrous worship and heathen practices and worshiping God, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. But they were unwilling to do this. This action of the Jews so intensified the hatred of their enemies that they weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, that is, opposed and terrified them in every way. They hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. They succeeded in greatly checking this work, even during the rest of Cyrus's reign, who granted the Jews the privilege of carrying it on and assisted them in doing so. They wrote letters to Ahasuerus and Artaxerxes, accusing the Jews of sedition and rebellion, and succeeded in getting an order from Artaxerxes to stop the work by force and power. A copy of those letters is given in chapter 4 of the book of Ezra, and it says that then ceased the work of the house of God until the second year, the reign of Darius, king of Persia. But then there came encouragement to the people of Israel from Haggai and Zechariah. And I want to read to you from the book of Haggai, we're going to have to stop here anyway while I find this right book. It wasn't noted down here correctly. But we'll return to our next class and read how the children of Israel were encouraged to rebuild their temple. You are listening so well and learning so much in this Radio Bible School. Until now, until we meet again, the old schoolmaster says, you may now be dismissed.